College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. This is our special Big East offseason breakdown. And later in the show, we'll be joined by Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your Big East related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, let's talk about the Big East first in the short game. What is the short game for the Big East in 1920? The league is going to be back and back in a major way. Last season, not one Big East team advanced to the NCAA tournament second weekend and went to the Sweet 16. I would be shocked if that same thing repeats itself next year in 2020. Providence, Xavier, Creighton, Georgetown should all be in a position to return to the NCAA tournament. In my preseason AP Top 25 ballot, both Villanova and Seton Hall will be ranked among the top 15 of college basketball. But that is the short game for the Big East Conference. What is the long game? News came down over the weekend that UConn would be returning potentially to the league in all sports except for football starting in the 2021 season. What does that mean for Big East basketball? It's a home run for Big East basketball. What does that mean for UConn basketball? It's a home run for UConn basketball. Now, I want to make one thing clear. As of right now, Monday morning when we're taping this podcast, nothing has been official between UConn and the Big East. The Big East still needs to do an official vote as to whether or not UConn would be admitted back into the league and whether or not the Huskies would receive an invitation to the league. But for all intents and purposes, that's expected to happen. And then after that, the UConn Board of Trustees would have to meet on, obviously, officially deciding to leave the American Conference and joining the Big East a year from now. One thing that's been very important to the Big East model in this new rendition has been the double round robin tournament. I have confirmed through multiple sources that if UConn were to be the 11th team in men's basketball, the Big East in 2021 would then go to a 20-game league schedule like we've seen other leagues do. What does this mean potentially for the American Conference? For me, it means the American Conference would enter a state of transition. Now, this is one thing you need to remember. UConn, the past couple of seasons, the last 3 years specifically, has not done much to help the basketball brand of the American Conference, which has gotten better if you've paid close attention. But with that said, you look right now at the two top brands in the American Conference, other than Memphis, which has come back under Penny Hardaway thanks to his great recruiting. It's UConn and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, led by Mick Cronin, went to 9 straight NCAA tournaments. He takes the UCLA job. Now, all of a sudden, UConn, a program that has won 4 national championships since 1999, is on the goal line to leave and go to the Big East in 2021. To me, that means a critical time for the American Conference, and we'll get into that league from soup to nuts next week as we continue with all our conference breakdowns. But coming up next, the head coach of a team who has an excellent chance, in my opinion, to be a top 25 squad and a team that should be a top-tier team in the Big East, Georgetown. And the head coach, Patrick Ewing, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Georgetown is entering year 3 under Patrick Ewing. Hoyas made great strides last season in the Big East, and the head coach of the Hoyas joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Patrick, let's first take the news of the weekend and put it at the forefront. Lots of news coming down that UConn on the verge of again returning to the Big East. Your initial thoughts when you heard this over the weekend?
Well, first of all, I really don't have any comment on it. You know, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let the Big East figure out what they're doing and then, you know, let them comment. Then I can chime in. But for right now, I'm just going to leave that alone. I have no comment.
Fair enough. Well, this is obviously your third season right now as a college head coach at your alma mater. What are the biggest things, Patrick, that you obviously have learned about the college basketball landscape in the last 2 years that maybe you didn't know prior?
You know, I think that it definitely what's different in college than the NBA is the recruiting. You know, you don't have to recruit like you do in college unless you're trying to get these mega free agents like Durant and those guys. but, you know, I think the recruiting, the college game is definitely a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job. You know, in the NBA, you have some time off during the summer, in the summers, but in the college, no. You know, you have to make sure you find time to take some time for yourself and your family.
You know, Patrick, you obviously were one of the best players to ever play this game on every level. And, you know, people have always said that one of the hard things for great players when they become coaches is the players that they're coaching weren't the same caliber as themselves. Was that a process for you as you went not just obviously to coaching players, but coaching professionals as an assistant in the NBA to coaching at Georgetown?
No, because I don't look at them as, you know, as if they were me or, you know, Michael or LeBron. I try to look at them as the individual and try to help them to be the best players that they possibly can. You know, I know what what I had accomplished, and you know, when you're trying to get people to be the best that they can, you can't try to compare them to others. You just try to make them the best player they can be with what God has blessed them with.
And one of the players that flourished into a great player under you at Georgetown was Jesse Govan, who had a great all-around season last year. He is the piece that is not returning, but in his place is somebody who was very accomplished at NC State in Omer Yurtseven. For the college basketball fan right now, what can they expect as Omer takes the spot, obviously, at the five, as Jesse has departed?
Well, they're two different type players. Jesse was more of a perimeter type big. Omer is a guy that can definitely post up. He's big, he's agile, but he can also step out and shoot the three. So I'm looking forward to, you know, to Omer filling that role or that void.
You know, Patrick, it's interesting. You know, you obviously in the 90s, along with some other players, were the prototype center in the sense that, you know, you played more of a traditional style of basketball. What is it like for you to watch, obviously, that five position completely evolve into something else because of versatility?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, even though I played the prototypical type game, I could shoot just like these guys can shoot. I just didn't shoot it as deep as a lot of these guys shoot it now. But, you know, the only part of it that's disheartening is that they're trying to say there's no more fives or there's no more great fives. And you know, I think that as soon as there's a big that can do the things that we could do, you know, come out of college or high school, then things will change.
Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Hoyas will return next season. Three of the top four scorers from last year's squad that went 9-9 in the Big East. And obviously, those three scorers were all first-year players last year. James Akinjo, Mac McClung, Josh LeBlanc. As all players in college normally make the biggest jump from their freshman to sophomore years, for these three players specifically, what are you hoping to see as they transition into year two?
The growth, you know, definitely maturing. They're not freshmen anymore. They can't, you know, look at through the lens of what they did when they were in high school or in the first year. So I'm expecting a significant maturity out of them, unlike their freshman year.
You know, Patrick, I was in D.C. a couple times last season, and we had visited, and you talked about how when you were recruiting Josh LeBlanc, you loved, obviously, his motor and the fact that he brought it every day, and his game has really translated from an intangibles perspective. How much has LeBlanc, if at all, reminded you of your former running mate, Charles Oakley, and what he does out on the floor from a college perspective?
Well, they're two different types of player. Art Oak was, you know, physical, aggressive, can shoot the three, shoot it deep, could post up a little bit. You know, Oak was, that enforcer. Josh is not an enforcer, but he brings the effort, the energy. And, you know, for him to be successful next year with everybody, you know or knowing what he can do, he's going to have to, you know, get stronger and, you know, get in much better shape to be able to endure the holding, the scratching, the clawing, the pushing that's going to take place.
You know, you gave so much responsibility to James Akinjo last year, and he flourished in a lot of instances. How will his game, do you think, blend with Yurt Seven's? Obviously, as you mentioned, that Yurt Seven has that versatile style offensively.
It's going to have to blend. You know, Yurt Seven is a piece that, you know, we definitely needed and want. And, you know, in order for us to be successful, we're going to have to be able to post the ball. We are going to have to be able to get perimeter shooting, pick and roll points. So, you know, those two are going to, they're going to have, not only those two, but the entire team, we're going to have to be able to work together if we want to be successful. Omer is a type of player that, you know, only comes around, you know, every so often. So you definitely have to be able to use his abilities.
I know, Patrick, obviously in addition to Omer, you had added a player in Terrell Allen from UCF who was obviously in the guts of that team's success last year. Aside from him, which other newcomers are you counting on to have a significant impact on Georgetown next season?
I'm counting on all of them. You know, you spoke about Omer. He sat out last year, but he was here. You know, Galen. You know, Galen is another player that we're gonna be counting on to have a great year for us next year. Myron Gardner is another player, another incoming freshman that we're gonna be counting on. And Kudus, he's from the area. You know, he's big, he's agile. You know, we're gonna need him to not be a freshman and to step up and try and play like an upperclassman.
You know, Patrick, obviously there's always optimism when you have returning players in your program, and Georgetown is a brand and a program that's among the best that we have in college basketball. Have you brought up going to the NCAA tournament at all, or any, you know, concrete goals with your team when you guys have had private conversations as a group?
Well, we definitely want to improve on what we did last year. You know, last year we were 9-9 in the Big East. We need to be a lot better. Our goal is to definitely make it to the NCAA tournament and try to go as far as possibly as we possibly can. So, you know, I think that, you know, we have a good core of guys that is coming back, and we added a lot of good pieces. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how we blend and how we are able to put it together, and that's going to determine how far we go.
Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You said that, you know, as you've evolved as a head coach, there's elements of Pat Riley, there's elements of Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Coach Thompson. As you continue to, you know, develop into that role, do you do things certain days in practice that maybe they were on you for and you stop and laugh? Do you find yourself replicating some of what your mentors do on a regular basis?
Well, you definitely borrow from them. The things that they do great, you definitely want to add to your philosophy, and things that, you know, you don't think they did as well, you want to discard. You know, when you're in the midst of coaching, it's hard to you know, go and reflect on, well, wow, coach used to do, Coach Thompson or Pat Riley or Jeff used to do this. You know, you just try to, you know, ride with the flow and just be the best coach that you can be.
You know, Patrick, one of the, I think, coolest things, obviously, in Georgetown's facility, and, you know, you've made mention of this for a long time, is there's a ball with no air in it, and it speaks to the fact that all players are going to have to do things after basketball is done with their mind to succeed in life. And, you know, the NBA draft was last week, and we have seen so many players bypass an opportunity to remain in college in an effort to be a professional, but many of these guys, you know, who are good college players went undrafted. As somebody who made sure, even though he was such a talented college player, to get his degree, from your perspective, what is it like not just to see these kids getting bad advice, but to see less value being put on education maybe than ever has been in our sport?
Well, I mean, it's definitely disappointing to see those kids not being drafted, but they also got to realize there's 30 teams, there's two rounds of draft of the draft, so you know it's hard. You know, only the cream of the crop really get drafted. So to me, you know, you have to, at some point, like you just said, at some point the ball is going to stop bouncing. For me, it took, you know, I was able to play 17 years. Not very many people have that opportunity. So, you know, you have to also not only, you know, fight for your dream or try to live your dream, but you also have to have a backup plan. And, you know, having an education is something that is very important.
You know, Patrick, this is obviously a college basketball podcast, but, you know, I am a resident of New York, and, you know, there's a lot of people who would get more curious to get your take on this. You know, we are seeing right now at the professional level in sports more elite players wanting to team up and play with each other, and you were somebody throughout your career who did the polar opposite. You were leading, obviously, a charge to try and dethrone teams that were at the top, and you weren't trying to join with somebody just obviously to benefit your own well-doing. You know, what is it like for you from your perspective to see kind of the changing of the mindset among elite free agents in order to form, you know, teams that have three or four Olympians on them versus just having, you know, one trying to dethrone another?
It's a different era. You know, these kids, they all think differently than the way that we thought. And you can't, you know, fault them for that. You know, everybody, you know, wants to win and wants to win a championship. And when you have teams like Golden State with all those great players that they have, you know, you have to be able to do something to able to compete against them. So, you know, I don't fault any of these guys for it. You know, it's a different era. It's, you know, in my era, we tried to, you know, I never seen myself, you know, teaming with Michael or teaming with, you know, some other great player or Charles to try to, you know, to win a championship. We try to get it done on our own. But the sad part of it is, you know, for the fans, if the New York Knicks drafted me, and if I was to leave to go to somewhere else, that's going to leave a void in New York. So, you know, it's sad to see those guys leaving the teams that drafted them to go play with someone else.
You know, you obviously were in the middle of New York media for so long, but obviously things have changed right now. There's more elements of media. There's social media. From what you've dealt with as a coach, is it harder to be an athlete right now in the spotlight than it was when you were playing by a significant margin?
Well, you know, when I played, I was one of the biggest media market in the world. So I'm not going to say it's harder, but there's a lot of different things. Like you said, there's, you know, Twitter, there's, you know, Facebook, there's, you know, all these different, electronic media, which we didn't have back when I was playing. So it might be harder in this era than it was in ours or mine.
Final thing, Patrick, let's get back to Georgetown. Obviously, you know, you're excited about what you bring back and what you add. As you look forward to next season, obviously you're going to want individual improvement from some of the guys we've spoken about. But in your mind, what are the biggest keys to Georgetown, obviously, taking a step forward and returning to the NCAA tournament?
Us playing together, sharing the wealth. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Us, you know, with the talent that we have returning and the talent that we have added, and if we're going to be successful, we have to be unselfish and share the ball, share the wealth.
Well, Patrick, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Best of luck with the rest of summer recruiting, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on.
We want to thank Georgetown's Patrick Ewing for joining us on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And this episode is being brought to you by Manscaped, who are number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for manscaping that sensitive area. You know what I mean, guys. We've all had bad experiences in the past trying to trim things down there, even me. You have to have the right equipment for these sensitive jobs. They've sent us some amazing products, and tell me, I love them. Made that trim easy and fast with no costly mistakes down there. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 is proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your boys. Why hasn't anyone done this before? Stop using your traditional razor down there. Manscaped has the proper tools for the job, so manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Plus, you don't want to be using the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your junk. That's just nasty. Trust me. And check this out. Manscaped is also the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Makes sense. You have to check out Manscaped. For our listeners, get 20% off free shipping with the code HOOPS at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. You boys will thank me later. Check them out now. Again, get 20% off free shipping and a free travel bag with the code HOOPS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping and a free travel bag at manscaped.com, and use the code HOOPS. I want to remind you that you can check out the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions right now on Twitter, Big East related. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Brad McGee, and it's, John, with the expected addition of UConn, should we expect to see a 12th team added to the Big East? Brad, I do not anticipate a 12th team being added to the Big East. The coaches have loved the double round robin format. One of the things that has really taken shape has been that the coaches have been really, really committed to not adding a 12th team. This puts you at 20 league games if you add UConn and 2021, and also it's also 22 high major games guaranteed for all Big East teams because you have this new alliance with the Big 12 and you also have the Gavitt games with the Big 10. Our next question is going to come from Dan Stokes, and it's, John, do you think with the way Mike Anderson is recruited that St. John's could make a return to the NCAA tournament? Look, I'm going to talk more about St. John's, you know, in our final news and notes segment, but I will say this. I think that St. John's, if point guard play can be somewhat stabilized, I think St. John's has a chance to be a dangerous team with Heron, with Figueroa potentially flourishing in Mike Anderson's system. And our final question right now in our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast, it's from Online MLB Scout, and it's like, John, DePaul in last place? I'm shocked. Now, this is what I want to say about going through the Big East power rankings, which we're going to unveil from top to bottom in a second. I think you could make a case right now that the lower third teams in the league, Butler, St. John's, DePaul, are all close. DePaul is a team I'm going to see practice in a couple of weeks in Chicago, and this is why I'm really intrigued. Paul Reed is back. I think, you know, in terms of front court players, he has a chance to be one of the best of the league. There are two transfers that are sitting out, Darius Hall from Arkansas and Cartier Gordon from St. Louis, who have a chance to be major impact players for DePaul. But the big key for me is whether or not the Blue Demons are going to get a waiver for Charlie Moore, the Kansas transfer, if he could solidify that point guard spot. I think, you know, I'm going to have to wait and see more on DePaul, but you need to see a situation where, A, Charlie Moore is eligible, and then, B, can Cartier Gordon and also Darius Hall be in alignment where they're making a major impact for the Blue Demons. And in addition to what we're going to talk, obviously, about DePaul, we also want to give you power rankings for the Big East, and that's sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And now, power rankings from an off-season perspective for the Big East in 1920.
John's Big East Power Rankings. Power Rankings.
One, I have to go Villanova. It's hard to pick against, obviously, a team that's won two national championships since 2016. Villanova, to me, again, is going to be very young, very inexperienced, but still, they have a culture. They've got one of the best programs in college basketball, if not the best program in college basketball. I have Villanova at one. Seton Hall's at two with Miles Powell and company. Georgetown at three. Providence four. Xavier five. Marquette six. Remember, they lost both Joey and Sam Hauser after last season. Creighton seven. Would have had Creighton higher if they didn't lose Martin Crumple to professional opportunities. St. John's 8, Butler 9, DePaul 10. Now, who's the Big East preseason player of the year?
John's Big East preseason player of the year.
For me, it's Miles Powell from Seton Hall. Miles Powell, Kevin Willard has said, is the best offensive player that he has coached in all his years as a head coach. Seton Hall has a chance right now to have as good of a season as it's had in quite a long time, going back to the PJ Carlissimo days. Now, let's get to the Big East preseason first team.
John's Big East preseason first team.
Obviously, Miles Powell is going to be on the list. Marcus Howard of Marquette. Tyshawn Alexander from Creighton, a young man who I think could average 20 points a game in 1920. Alpha Diallo from Providence and Najee Marshall from Xavier. Players like Kamar Baldwin, LJ Figueroa, and Villanova freshman Jeremiah Robinson-Earl were close to being on this list, but those five right now in the Big East preseason first time: Marcus Howard, Tyshawn Alexander, Miles Powell, Alpha Diallo, Najee Marshall. Now, who's the conference sleeper?
John's Big East sleeper.
Going to go with St. John's. I've mentioned, you know, in great detail, obviously, how I'm waiting to see how St. John's solidifies its point guard spot. But Mike Anderson is a coach, and he was a guest on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, that has been a head coach, a successful head coach for a very long time, has never had a losing season. And I look at this St. John's team with Heron, with Figueroa, with Greg Williams, who I think could be a real important piece for this basketball team in Mike Anderson's system. I think St. John's is off the radar right now. I think they could surprise some people next season. Now, let's get to some impact freshman.
John's freshman to watch in the Big East.
Four from Villanova: Brian Anton, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Justin Moore, Eric Dixon, Romeo Weems at DePaul, Samir Torrance from Marquette, Greg Gann at Providence, Khalif Battle, the brother of Tyus Battle, at Butler, and then Kai Kai Tandy and also Demir Bishop from Xavier. Now, let's get some impact Big East transfers.
John's transfers to watch in the Big East.
Ike Obiagu at Seton Hall, the Florida State transfer, is going to be sensational for the Pirates at protecting the front of the rim. Omer Yurtseven, who you just heard Patrick Ewing talk about, for Georgetown, as well as Terrell Allen. Luwan Pipkins for Providence. Jason Carter at Xavier. Two for Marquette: Kobe McEwen, the Utah State transfer, and then also Jace Johnson, who transferred from Utah. A pair at St. John's, and Eli Wright and Ian Steer, and then Cartier Gordon from DePaul. Now, let's get some breakout guys.
John's Big East breakout players for next season.
Sadiq Bey at Villanova is a volcano just waiting to erupt. Jared Roden from Seton Hall. Jacob Epperson at Creighton, who should obviously have more of a pronounced role now that Martin Crumple is no longer part of the Jays program. Greg Williams, who I mentioned at St. John's, and then David Duke at Providence. I think the presence of Luwan Pipkins in Providence's backcourt is going to do wonders for David Duke. It'll free him up. It'll free A.J. Reeves up. Ed Cooley, for the first time in 6 years last year, did not coach in the NCAA tournament. I think that will definitely change as long as Providence can stay healthy in 2020. We'd like to thank Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And this episode is being brought to you by Manscaped, who are number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for manscaping that sensitive area. You know what I mean, guys. We've all had bad experiences in the past trying to trim things down there, even me. You have to have the right equipment for these sensitive jobs. They've sent us some amazing products, and tell me, I love them. Made that trim easy and fast with no costly mistakes down there. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 is proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your boys. Why hasn't anyone done this before? Stop using your traditional razor down there. Manscaped has the proper tools for the job, so manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Plus, you don't want to be using the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your junk. That's just nasty. Trust me. And check this out. Manscaped is also the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Makes sense. You have to check out Manscaped. For our listeners, get 20% off free shipping with the code HOOPS at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. You boys will thank me later. Check them out now. Again, get 20% off free shipping and a free travel bag with the code HOOPS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping and a free travel bag at manscaped.com, and use the code HOOPS.